Saturday, August 17th. There are reports this morning that German raiders are believed flying inland from the southeast coast of Britain for new mass air raids. London newspapers are calling for RAF reprisal attacks on industrial populations in Germany following the Nazi bombing of suburbs in London. RAF planes are believed to have flown across Switzerland during the night for attacks on Germany. In Rome, a communique claims that Italian forces in Somaliland are forcing British troops to flee on all fronts. Now for the report of Eric Severide in the British capital. Go ahead, London.
This is London. This morning, the Air Ministry says air raids during the night were not on a heavy scale. Early this morning, one bomber at least was shot down in the channel, and more raids will most probably develop during the day. The city is quiet so far today, and traffic moves normally. Loss of life yesterday from the many raids does not appear to be very great. Several airfields were hit, and at one of them, the buildings were badly damaged. The score of German planes destroyed still stands at 71 for the day. Suburban trains are now running again in the bombed districts where one station was smashed up and some commuters killed. It was not, however, a very important junction. The British official announcement for the first time accuses the Germans of deliberately bombing a purely residential town. This is Eastbourne, filled with women and children from more dangerous areas. Britain claims to have destroyed now some 540 planes in the last 9 days, losing 130 of her own. All the bombers which hit Croydon Airfield were caught before they escaped back to Germany, so we're informed. This morning, air experts here are saying that these great daylight raids can, theoretically, continue until the fogs of November. They are expected to become more intense in the next few days. They are trying to put fighter airfields out of action to give German dive bombers a chance for real, continuous, systematic operations necessary for any invasion. The number of fighter fields is limited because they must be large fields. The planes are too fast to use small makeshift drones. Now, we can't speculate on the damage to Britain's airfields and military factories, but if anybody in America has received the impression that civil or industrial life is disrupted in this country or that people are terrorized, he's got quite the wrong idea. Recently, I got off a bus in a southern England town just as the sirens wailed. We went into a hotel and the gates were locked behind us. Everybody sat down to lunch with one ear cocked for the sound of bombs. The woman proprietor, a little mite of a Scotswoman, came in beaming with pride. Nobody working in the kitchen, the dining room, or anywhere in the hotel wanted to quit work and take shelter. She apologized for one chambermaid who did, but she had a baby. In mid-afternoon, I was standing on a hillock watching tanks of General de Gaulle's French Legion roaring over the crest of the field and cutting into the scrub pine forest. There were tanks and tank drivers who had been in Norway, then re-embarked for France. The captain told me he had set foot on French soil for just 24 hours when the German divisions cut in behind him. He and his men sailed again and landed in England. De Gaulle is building in miniature what he long demanded in France for the French army itself, mechanized divisions of specialists. Foreign legionnaires with French helmets crept behind the tanks in a place I never thought I would ever see these men, deep in the purple field of English heather. 8 German bombers came drumming over us, flying low. The tanks instantly backed into the brush, out of sight. They flew eastward, and we saw the tiny dots of bombs dropping away from the planes and watched a thin column of smoke rising from the forest. 8 bombers had gone over. We saw no fighters beneath the gray wall of clouds, but when they came back, only 5 bombers were there. The exploits of Britain's airmen has seized the imagination of this traditionally phlegmatic people in a way that's hard to describe. In a cafe, the owner was complaining. His manager had just resigned to become a second-class air craftsman. 4 members of the 5-man orchestra were leaving this week to become airmen. You find this going on in every business office and store and restaurant. Here's the way the Daily Express puts the matter this morning. The nation's most honored title today is not Earl or Marquis or Lord or Knight, but Pilot. Last night, the German radio said Big Ben had struck 13 times at midnight and intimated life in London had gone completely haywire as a result of bombing. That brought forth a statement this morning. We're told it's a physical impossibility for Big Ben to strike 13 times, even if Big Ben should try. This is Eric Severide in London. I return you now to Columbia, New York.
That was Eric Severide, our CBS correspondent in the British capital, reporting to you the developments from that point. And here is a dispatch from Athens. The Greek government, embroiled in ever-increasing difficulties with Italy, announced today that additional reserve officers and men in the category of specialists would be called up August 20th for participation in large-scale maneuvers. And a late dispatch from Rome says a high command communique said today that British troops were fleeing along all fronts before the Italian drive through British Somaliland. The announcement said that the climax of the Somaliland battle had been reached yesterday. And now for a report by Edwin Hartwich from the German capital, we take you to Berlin.
This is Berlin. We are still trying to connect up the story of the bombing raids over England and the port of London yesterday. This morning we have a new score on the number of planes shot down. The Deutsches Nachrichten Bureau, the official news agency, reports that the British lost 89 aircraft and 22 barge balloons yesterday, while 27 German planes were shot down. This report is broken down as follows. 59 British planes shot down in the air, 33 on the ground, and 7 by anti-aircraft fire. However, the situation has been confused by the day-in-day reports. For last night, about 12 midnight, the agency reported that 65 British planes were shot down and 15 German planes lost. Then all the morning papers today reverted to an earlier score sent out about 9 p.m. last night. That figure was 40 British planes lost, while 15 German ships were knocked out of the skies. However, the new figure of 89 planes lost by the Royal Air Force may be considered as the final report here of the news agency. For it is confirmed by the high command report just released. Also, another angle has not been clarified as yet, and that is, did the Germans send over a greater number of bombers and pursuit planes yesterday than were used in previous attacks on England or not? For early yesterday morning, evening, the day-in-day announced briefly that, quote, due to bad weather, air activity has been restricted, end of quote. But the Bayezid am Mittag this noon reports in a front-page story, quote, some papers like the London Times say that one must reckon with the appearance of 1,000 planes at once, but the events of the last 24 hours have exceeded all the English prophecies, which sounded very rash, but which have now been put on the shelf, end of quote. However, these details to the side, the German press this morning, and the radio as well, are reporting that yesterday's raids on England and the port of London were a great success. The news agency adds one funny item in its stories as to what happened in London during the raids. We are told that great excitement was caused among the expected crowds of people gathered in the center of London at midnight after the air raid on Croydon by big guns striking 13 instead of 12 o'clock. Superstitious minds were inclined to see a bad omen in this, the German report adds. But most matter-of-fact Britons put it down the shock caused by the clockwork mechanism by explosions in Croydon. Recapitulating the reports of the London raids, we are told here this morning that a special squadron of German bombers, escorted by Messerschmitts, was given orders to break through the balloon barrage that protects the British capital and attack the port of London, as well as airfields in the immediate vicinity. And according to reports here, they claimed to have succeeded. The main damage was apparently done to Purfleet and Barking in the docks district, and large explosions were observed from these two industrial sections, according to the reports brought back by German reconnaissance planes. The Germans were apparently aiming at the food supply of Greater London, for in the reports of the bombing yesterday, arsenals, storehouses, and coal storage warehouses are named as specific objectives for the German raid efforts. However, German planes visited and raided other parts of England, according to the DND. Near Birmingham and Hull, armament works received direct hits, say the reports here. The Chatham shipyards were also attacked, as were airports at Rochester, Maidstone, Leon Solent, and Gosport. While at Enfield, a large power plant was damaged, where I've told. 10 barrage balloons outside the London barrage group were also shot down. With that rough summary put out here this morning, and tied up with the final figures of destroyed planes, we'll give you an idea of the operations as we see it from the official news. The parade grandstands working in Freezer Platz here for the homecoming victory parade of Berlin's troops after the French campaign are now being dismantled. As we told you before, these stands were recently repainted and generally improved instead of being dismantled after the victory celebrations, all of which has caused us to wonder whether another and final victory parade was being arranged. This is Edwin Hartwich, returning you now to Columbia and New York.
That was Edwin Hartwich reporting to you from Berlin. And now to our own nation's capital for the report of Elmer Davis. Go ahead, Washington.
The story about Big Van striking 13 times seems to have been just a little addition to the German version of yesterday's fighting, which, as it doesn't stack up itself, casts a little discredit on some of the other details. The British, of course, have made a great deal of fun of some of these German stories about the extensive action yesterday, and they insist that some of them sound as if they were written beforehand and didn't correspond with the facts. Now, of course, there was unquestionably a very serious and violent air action, probably as bad as the day before, possibly even more destructive. But the German papers, when they talked as if there were more than 1,000 planes at once, and the British Air Ministry reports that about the largest number which ever attacked at one time in one wave was 150, there seems to be a certain discrepancy here. And when the Germans come on with this story of Big Ben striking 13 times and throwing terror into the populace, and the British maintain that the thing couldn't strike more than 12 times under any circumstances, you begin to wonder just how much truth there may be in this whole version of the attack as given out by DNB. It was, of course, a serious matter enough, but the Germans appear to have embellished it very greatly, although it must be noted that in their report of the points attacked, if you break it down and separate it from the verbiage and literary decoration that surrounded it, they do seem to claim only that they attacked chiefly the port of London and some of the southwestern suburbs, which were the points they actually did hit. Nevertheless, these stories are all more or less put out for their effect on the home public, of course, and the Germans are apparently writing chiefly for their public without caring particularly whether anybody else believes the details or not. After all, as long as they keep their people convinced that everything is going well, the generals and the high commanders know exactly what did happen, and the damage is unquestionably considerable, and they're not particularly careful as to whether they check up with the accurate details of what really did occur. The report that the Greeks have called up more specialists in their army. Yesterday, the specialists that were reported to have been called to the colors were anti-aircraft gunners, whom they would obviously need, would indicate that Greece is rather gallantly and almost pathetically hoping to put up some sort of defense against Italy without necessarily being able or willing to defend itself completely. There has been report that if the Italian army goes through to Saloniki, as Italy is supposed to have demanded a right of way, although that rumor is entirely unconfirmed, that the Greeks will not endeavor to resist. Whether they will or not is known probably only to General Metoxas, the dictator, and to his cabinet. But they're obviously tired of this sort of thing, of having bombs dropped on their ships heterogeneously around in various Greek waters, and of having torpedoes launched at their cruisers when they're in Greek ports, and so on. And they're trying to put up as much of a sort of undeclared defense against an undeclared war as they can. Now, the Italians, of course, say that Greek cruiser was sunk by a British submarine, which was merely trying to embitter the relations between Italy and Greece. Since those relations had already been very greatly embittered by the attacks of the Italian press based on several grounds, it seems hardly likely that the British would have felt it necessary to embitter them still further. And considering the activities of what were politely known as pirate submarines during the Spanish Revolution, which eventually turned out to have been Italian submarines attacking Spanish ships while Italy was nominally at peace with Spain, the inference has grown in many places that the Italians were responsible for that sinking, too, of the Greek cruiser. And now several Greek ships appear to have been bombed by planes that they identify as Italian. So they're calling up the anti-aircraft gunners and evidently going to try to fight off attacks like these if they come again. Whether Greece will be able to resist a full-fledged attack is still uncertain. We return you now to New York.
And with this report from our own nation's capital by Elmer Davis and the reports of Eric Severide from London and Edwin Hartrich from Berlin, CBS correspondents have brought you the news of the latest moves in the European situation. Tony Marvin speaking. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.